Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. Welcome back. Moolala, Money Made Simple, is brought to you in part by Credit Canada. I am the CEO of the organization, and we are Canada's longest standing nonprofit credit counseling agency. Our mission is to help people get out of debt so they can get back into life. Listen, debt is a brutal reality for millions of Canadians. It starts to pile on for lots and lots of different reasons: job loss, divorce, illness, bad luck, you name it. Our accredited credit counselors are available to help you understand your current financial situation and take you through all your options on how to move forward. And there really are options out there. So go to creditcanada.com. We are nonprofit. As I said, the counseling is free and judgment free. We're seeing more and more and more of these advertisements for sports betting these days. They're everywhere. They're like on billboards, they're online, they're everywhere. And this is on top of the fact that Canadians have been able to gamble in lots of different ways for a very, very long period of time. Right. For a lot of people, betting on sports, going to the casino, going onto their phone to do a little gambling, no big deal, fun, exciting, great. But how much gambling is too much gambling? And how do you know if you've actually developed an addiction that is really costing you financially? Mike Bergeron is a certified nonprofit credit counselor at Credit Canada. And this is a kind of call he receives a lot. So we're going to talk to him about gambling and debt in particular. He's in Windsor, Ontario today. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about the kinds of calls that you receive for people who are starting to wake up to the fact that their gambling has become a problem for them.
Right. So on the news, I'm finding the traditional call is when things got really out of hand. It's almost to the point where they're late on rent, arrears on their bills, very stressed, high level stress, nowhere to turn. Sometimes, the debt is unknown to loved ones, family, and they have no one to really turn to. So it is very, it's a very challenging conversation to support them through it. But on the other side, there is those random calls that people are really proactive, and they see that they haven't accumulated much debt, but they see they're dwindling their savings plans, and they want to get it resolved and get the support before it gets to that point. So it's not a, it's a small percentage, but it's nice to see that some people are being aware and being proactive to their challenge.
You've been working as a credit counselor for a long period of time. And back in the olden days, people had to like hoof it to a casino in order to gamble and in some cases to get themselves into trouble. Now there are many more ways in which they can find themselves in that. Is there a, I'm using air quotes here, a stereotypical person who finds themselves in this situation, or does it really cross age, income, you know, background, all that?
Yeah, I think I've been noticing a lot through the board, male, female, everything in between. I remember just not that many years ago, me and my brother and my dad, we would go to the local corner store and we would bet on the local, the Sunday football games. And it was amusing to have a little bit involved in the game. But today, like you're saying, with all the advertisements, I don't remember the last time I watched a sporting event where during the commercial breaks, they weren't promoting these online betting sites. You can, you can bet right at home on your local device, which could automatically cause some severe financial burdens if you don't set some really good perimeters. So it's a lot more aggressive, I'm noticing, in that sports betting field versus, like you were saying, Bruce, having to go to the casino to place that bet on that winning team. It's a lot easier now. So I can see a lot more people, younger people, unfortunately, getting into this addiction a little bit sooner than most.
With any behavior, there is a level of moderation in which it's like, not a big deal. You can have a glass of wine. That's very different than a couple of bottles of wine. How does someone who gambles know when it's too much?
Yeah, I think I think the majority of times when I'm speaking and doing my presentations or speaking to someone on the phone, I really try to get a good understanding to that question as well. And the majority of the time, it's when they don't know when to stop, they don't know when to leave, or they never really thought of safe gambling habits, like setting limitations on, you know what, after $50, we'll leave, something along those lines. So I find sometimes it's a little bit of that. Sometimes you can tell by the isolation, depression, the remorse they feel about what they got themselves into. Sometimes it could be just the fact of lying about how much they've lost. Mm. That's a traditional or a very common thing I'm hearing too. So those are probably the key ones that I'm hearing most often.
So the light bulb goes off, an individual realizes, okay, this is actually something that I have to get a handle on. Where do they start? How do they start to deal with, and I'm going to make the case that there is debt here. There isn't always. Some people can fund their gambling and it's not a situation where they have debt, but let's take the case that they do. Mm-hmm. How do you start to deal with gambling debt?
So I think the first thing is that acknowledgement that I have a problem. I've spoken to many people over my counseling career that seek support regarding the debt, like you mentioned, Bruce, and they never really dealt with the addiction. Therefore, acknowledging the addiction and seeking support about that is always step one. Regarding how to do that, believe it or not, I think our local PlaySmart or the provincial associations that oversee responsible gambling have done a lot of good initiatives to support. Obviously, Canadian Mental Health Association in your local province is a good stepping point to get maybe some self-exclusion contacts of how to go about doing that, or what kind of counseling is available, or support groups are available to support you with that type of situation.
Your job really lives in two worlds. You are head oriented, you've got the math, you're looking at the numbers, and you're heart oriented, because the human at the other end of the phone is suffering. They're dealing with really tough circumstances. You referenced that some people suffer alone. They don't tell a spouse or a family member. In fact, they may actively keep it a secret because of shame and guilt and all that stuff.
Right.
How do you recommend that people cross that threshold and have those tough conversations?
Yeah, I think there's a form of empathy that goes along with speaking to the individual who's going through that, understanding on a personal level, knowing loved ones that have gone through some very similar addictions, and how it impacts them, how it impacts the family around them, and give them the tools to let them know that they're not alone through this journey, that specifically the counseling element. I know a lot of resources throughout the country that can support them, but provide them the awareness that we will get through this together. We'll go through a personalized financial plan. We're going to go through income expenses. We're going to go through assets. What is available to start working on getting those debts under control? And potentially even some options through insolvency or debt management through Credit Canada. Obviously, at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we're helping people get out of debt and back into life. So we want to make sure that it's an all-round picture. It's just not one element. We're doing a whole transformation of their financial lifestyles potentially.
Your conversation with clients is confidential. It's one-on-one, and there's some comfort in the fact that you're a stranger, because you're certainly not going to judge them. It's what you do professionally.
Right.
If they asked you, how do I talk to my spouse about this issue? Give me a sentence. How do I actually, what words fall out of my mouth in order to begin that conversation? What would you say?
Yeah, I think most of the time it's back to that acknowledgement that I've made a mistake, and right now I don't need judgment, I need support. And I think most times, when regardless of what you're going through, we're afraid of the response We're not afraid of the situation. We're kind of aware we got ourselves into this scenario, but we're afraid of how others will perceive looking at them, and will they judge them, or how are they going to react? We're afraid of that type of response. So I just kind of say to make sure that you're open, you acknowledge that you've made a mistake, and you're asking for a little bit of understanding that you're seeking support, not just financially, but also with the addiction. And I think that could go a long way, specifically when it comes to loved ones. Nobody wants to see people we care about struggle. We just need to take that step and have faith that they love you just as much as you love them.
One of the things people will say when they've had behavior that they know doesn't work for them is they'll say, well, I did it because I could. Are there ways to make it tougher for the individual to walk into that casino, to log onto their phone? What are some things that they could provide as circuit breakers for themselves to just lower the risk when the temptation hits, you know, their credit card isn't connected to the app or whatever?
Right. Yeah, that's one good one, is just putting yourself some perimeters on your utilization on credit. But like I mentioned a little bit earlier, Canadian Mental Health Association in your local province, they do have the stepping stones for self-exclusion. If you find you need yourself a break, maybe you just need a break because you're just not 100% sure if this is your situation getting carried away, or you just need some time to reflect and maybe get your situation back on track, you can put yourself on a 6-month probation where you can attend in the casino, or they'll also support you on the steps of stopping yourself, be able to go on any online platform, any kind of poker site or gaming site, betting site, so to speak. The other thing that what people can do is put on limitations on these online sites. These are the ones that it can get carried away quite quickly, because you're sitting at home and you're drinking your coffee and it's like, oh my God, I lost $500 already. It can go really quickly. However, if you set yourself some perimeters, $50 in a 24-hour period, once that, you know, if you lost $50, it logs you out of the system and you can't get back in until the next day. So there are some perimeters online that I think the associations under the gambling sites have created to prevent. Obviously, it's not perfect. No system's perfect, but it prevents if you utilize it to the best of its capabilities.
Mike, appreciate your time today. Thank you.
No, Bruce. Thank you.
Mike Bergeron is a certified nonprofit credit counselor at Credit Canada, and he's someone who's got a tremendous amount of experience working with clients who are dealing with gambling debt. So Mike mentioned a whole bunch of resources out there. You can also pick up the phone and call one of our counselors. Maybe you'll even get Mike.
Hi, it's me, your debt. Look, we need to talk. This isn't working. The missed payments, the collection calls, and all those sleepless nights. We need nonprofit debt counseling, and I found the perfect place. Credit Canada Debt Solutions. They're non-judgmental, 100% confidential. They'll negotiate with creditors and even stop interest. Don't you want to rebuild your credit? You deserve better.
Break up with debt. Visit creditcanada.com.